Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, folks, we know that the state legislature is in special session talking about tax reformation. There is a tug of war going on up there as to what we're doing. But it seems as though, I think it sounds like, we're going to increase taxes in order to give a tax cut. I'm not certain, but here to help explain it to me is Jan Moeller from Invest in Louisiana. Jan, how are you today?
Running like crazy. Neil, thanks for having me on your show. And I wish I could offer some insights. I just stepped out of the Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Committee to do this call. And so they are right now in the middle of making hundreds of amendments and changes to these tax bills. So I wish I could tell you, what the bills look like this morning. I cannot tell you exactly what they're going to look like in about an hour from now.
But is that still the track that they're taking, is that we're going to increase sales taxes in order to get to a cut in income tax? And I heard that one of the houses is even thinking about going to a penny increase. This is crazy.
I'm hearing the same thing. And yes, the simplest way to explain what's happening is exactly that. Louisiana already has the highest sales tax anywhere in the country. That's the combined sales tax. If you combine the state rate and the local rate. So when you go to buy a pack of gum or a loaf of bread, not a loaf of bread, but you pay the highest sales tax in the country here. And the idea is to broaden the base of the sales tax by applying that sales tax to more stuff and possibly going up even higher than we are right now. And the revenue from that would be to pay for an income tax cut and a cut in the corporate tax. So that's what they're trying to do. The other part of this is they want to make some broad changes to the constitutional article that governs taxes and spending. Literally, Neil, when I walked out of the committee 5 minutes ago, they have a 139-page bill to rewrite the Constitution, and they just adopted 51 amendments to that. So things are moving very quickly, and I defy you to find a single legislator out of 144 who knows exactly what they're doing to these bills.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Senator Duplessis the other day, and this is not a criticism. I was just kind of curious whether or not there was an exercise up there where they were doing back-of-the-envelope calculations as to where people were going to ultimately end up. Because I said, you know, the dangerous thing here is you're not really going to know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Jan, the full impact of all of this till probably a year or 2 years down the road. And I said, you know, the interesting thing and coincidence about the 2 years down the road, that's right before they're up for re-election. I would be concerned.
That's exactly right. And there's two things we have to think about here. There's the effect on each individual taxpayer, each company. You know, if they broaden the sales tax, of course, that's a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that all of a sudden have to start collecting and remitting sales tax for state government. So I think everybody who pays taxes in Louisiana, which is virtually everybody, is going to have to look at how this applies to their situation, and it will be different. Some are probably going to win. Some are probably going to lose. But the other thing is, how is this going to affect the state's ability to pay its bills? And at least as the bills stood this morning, again, we haven't, you know, they're amending the bills right now. But as of this morning, this package that the governor put forward would reduce state revenues by about $700 million a year. And in our opinion, would almost be certain to lead us back to these big, massive budget shortfalls that we saw, you know, during the Bobby Jindal years, when the state was coming in every year and cutting higher education and cutting health care, and teachers were going without a pay raise. So I think we're in danger, frankly, of leading Louisiana back to these budget shortfalls. And I think if I were a business considering coming to Louisiana, I'd be looking not just at the taxes that I'd be paying, but, you know, what do we get for those taxes, and how are the schools going to do, and how are the roads going to be, and how safe is my community going to be? So I think there's a lot of unknowns in this package, Newell, and frankly, and we've said from the very beginning, there is no reason to be doing this during 20 days in November. They have an entire session in the spring set aside to have this debate. And I think that's the time when the legislature should look at tax policy.
It seems to me that what was originally proposed by the administration, where we find ourselves right now, doesn't even resemble that. Would that be a fair characterization?
I think that's absolutely fair. You remember back in the spring, Landry decided he wanted to have a constitutional convention. The Senate said no. He tried again in the summer to rewrite the Constitution. The legislature didn't want to do it. And now we find ourselves here in November, I think, at a time when most Louisianans aren't used to paying attention to state government. Everybody's looking forward to Thanksgiving and the holiday season. And they're making these massive, far-reaching changes. I mean, this is looking to be the biggest changes in tax policy we've seen in Louisiana in more than a half a century. So this is a pretty big deal, and they're going to have to live with the consequences.
Jan, I'm getting a lot of texts from people wanting to know, how much of this do they get an opportunity to vote on? Obviously, if they're amending the Constitution, they get to vote on that. And how much of that actually impacts, to the best of your understanding at the present time, this overall package?
Well, so the constitutional amendment, which is, you know, 139 pages and counting, would be on a statewide ballot on March 29th. One of the things they're doing here is creating a new statewide election at the end of March. And so that's the constitutional changes. But the tax cuts and the tax increases, those can happen without the Constitution. So the major parts of this package that I think people are really going to feel in their pocketbook and that legislators are going to notice when they go to pass a budget next year, those parts don't need voter approval. All it takes is a two-thirds majority vote in the House and the Senate. And again, the House did their work last week. The Senate is working right now. And then, obviously both sides have to come together before anything goes to the governor. And that's what we're probably looking at happening at the end of the week. So the process is still very much fluid, but they're going to wrap this up pretty soon.
Jan, correct me if I'm wrong. The House rejected a lot of the sales tax in the enhancement of the sales tax base. Is that correct?
Yes. So that's the one bill that couldn't get off the floor. You know, they were all eager to cut taxes, but none of them, they weren't as eager to raise the taxes to offset the cost of those tax cuts. Of course, the state has to balance its budget. So probably the most controversial bill was a bill that would have applied the state sales tax to 42 different types of services, including garbage collection and home repairs and dog grooming, landscaping services, and of course affect a lot of small businesses. That bill didn't have enough votes to get through the House, and so it's been scaled back. My understanding is that the amendment they put on it, it would only apply to 19 different types of services, and of course it would raise a lot less money than the original version. They thought they were going to get $500 million a year by broadening the sales tax. Now it's looking like they're only going to get $130 million, but because they still need money, that's why they're looking at possibly going up on the sales tax rate. Again, we don't know, because I think those things are under discussion right now in the committee.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, I mean, the whole danger, and you talked about this before, that once you start with an asterisk here and a little caveat there and an accommodation over there, all of these things are all interrelated by the math. The math shows no emotion. It is what it is. And, you know,
that's,
and it's
exactly
easy
right
to get out of balance, right?
I mean, that's exactly right. And if you want to spend a dollar to educate a child or provide health care services or build a bridge, you have to raise that money from the citizens through taxes. That's just how this works. And I'll give you a small example. This happened in the last 20 minutes, Newell, of how crazy this is and how fluid this process is. You know, the original package that the governor put out wanted to eliminate the tax credits for film production and historic preservation. And that was a very big deal to New Orleans, as you know, because it would have essentially killed the film industry in New Orleans and put a lot of projects and historic preservation projects on hold. So the amendments that passed just a few minutes ago preserved the film program. It gave the program a little bit of a haircut. So instead of spending $150 million a year, that would go down to $125 million a year. So the program would be smaller, but we're still going to save it. That amendment got on the bill. And then 5 minutes later, a different amendment got on the bill without any objection that essentially kills the program. So the legislature, the tax committee in the Senate essentially did two completely opposite things in the span of about 5 minutes. And I'm not sure how many of those legislators realized what they actually voted on.
Wait, so they gave them a haircut in one amendment and then another amendment killed the program.
Essentially kills the program. Exactly.
So what happened? Where does historic tax credit stand then? You know, and the importance of that is, you know, you got all these, you got these dilapidated buildings that go nowhere but for the tax credit. They'll stay dilapidated, right? Because all the provisions.
Absolutely.
Once they're designated historic, it costs a lot of money to rehab those places.
It costs a lot of money, and, you know, I'm not a property developer, but the developers will tell you that the math doesn't work without these tax credits. You know, they take the state tax credits, they take the federal tax credits, You know, and they get, I mean, they put a deal together, and that's how they're able to take, you know, maybe an abandoned post office or a hotel that had been vacant and turn it into something else, something useful. Often these things get converted to affordable housing or, you know, just put them back into commerce.
So, Jan, one of the big carrots that they were talking about is that the state does not have a sales tax, their portion, on prescription drugs. A number of local parishes and local municipalities do, not all, but some, most do, that they were going to eliminate that together. I read this morning that they're thinking about allowing all the locals to tax that to try and you know, shore up their balance sheet, because it looks like they're going to come out upside down. There's no way to make them whole or have this be revenue neutral for them.
Yeah, and I think my understanding is that some of that is addressed in the amendments that were passed. Again, I haven't had a chance to look at them, and they were being discussed right now. But that's another big piece of this, and I think one of the things that's caused heartburn is the effect on local government. The other thing they want to do in this, they want to tell local governments that they can't tax prescription drugs. They also want to take, they want local governments to get rid of their inventory tax. And right. That's a tax that, you know, some parishes don't generate much inventory tax at all. This is a property tax on inventory. Other places like Orleans, East Baton Rouge, where I'm based, some of the river parishes, St. Charles, St. John, where you have a lot of heavy industry, they get a whole lot of their budget from that inventory tax. And if that tax goes away, they're going to have trouble paying for school, paying their police officers and their teachers and their municipal services. Again, this is, another reason why you don't want to do this during 20 days in the middle of November, because there's a lot of potential unintended consequences, and it can reach down to the local level.
Yeah, I mean, this gets scary if there's over 100 additional amendments to the Constitution. I mean, that kind of disrupts the whole way that we govern ourselves on so many different issues, and I can't imagine the general public walking into the voting booth and just saying yes to all of that. I just don't see that happening.
We'll see. I mean, it's I never want to predict how Louisianans are going to vote, but I think we can be pretty sure it'll be a low turnout election. So if they get this amendment on the ballot, it's going to be, your vote's going to have a lot of power, because there's not going to be a lot of people going to the polls on that Saturday.
And folks are going to vote their own best self-interest, right? I mean, by that time, you see, that's the fallacy here. Is by that time, you've given them time to do the back of the envelope calculation. They're going to look
Absolutely.
At the list. They're going to look at, the fact that I'm on Social Security. Guess what? What you do with state income taxes is of no moment to me, because I don't pay state income tax on Social Security. So.
Exactly.
So you're only giving me additional cost. You're not giving me any juice.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, no, people are going to evaluate this based on where they stand. But I think and look, nobody would defend everything that's in our current Constitution. Folks on the left, right and center have, everybody agrees that it is clogged up. There's too much stuff in there that doesn't belong there. But to do this in one fell swoop in a giant amendment that I don't think anybody really understands. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be spending the rest of my afternoon reading over the 51 amendments they just put on that bill. Is I think a little too much to ask of voters, frankly, and too much to ask of legislators to really get their arms around here. And what the governor is essentially saying is trust me, we'll figure this out.
And I
went through
everything everything's on the come too, right? Because what we're saying is that we're going to increase our business base as a result of this that we're doing. More businesses are going to come here. An extraordinary amount of business is going to come here. and it's going to lift the tide for everyone, and that's going to backfill some of this. But I hear you.
That is the central promise. And I can tell you, you know, the example they keep using in committee hearings is we're going to be like North Carolina. And North Carolina cut taxes and they started growing. Let me tell you a couple of things about North Carolina. It is growing and it has been growing, but it was growing just as fast before they cut taxes a few years ago as it has the last few years. And North Carolina has been growing not because of tax cuts, but because they decided two generations ago to really start to transform the economy. You know, they were a tobacco and textile and furniture making state that decided to become a finance and aerospace and high technology center.
State.
And that's what's drawn people in. Louisiana hasn't done that. We are still wedded to the same industries that we've been wedded to for 100 years. And we're thinking that if we can just have North Carolina's tax rates, we're going to have North Carolina's growth. I don't know about that, but I do know that if you kill the film program, you are killing 10,000 jobs in Louisiana that pay a pretty good wage. If you kill the historic preservation credit, you're killing a lot of jobs and a lot of projects.
And they're in the center of much larger population centers than we are.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I wish. Look, you know, it would be great if we had North Carolina's growth. Everybody wants that.
Yeah, no. Look, I still don't fault the governor for trying, but I think it would have been much better served that. I know there were things that just don't align, but you know, and he likes to get things done. I get it. Everybody does. I'm that way, right? But some things you got to recognize are just not going to pan out. I'm not sure.
I give him credit for trying. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's nothing if not ambitious.
No doubt, for sure. Well, I am not going to keep you away from those amendments that I know that you're just dying to get your hands on and to start.
Somebody's got to read them.
Jan Moeller, Invest in Louisiana, thank you so much for your time and your insight. Have a lot of fun, Jan.
Thanks. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Noel. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.